Okay, so for another moment of honesty, I am a mostly script-writing sermon preacher. I generally write my notes out in pretty good detail, mostly because I'm not as good as Reggie as coming up with words on the spot. You might notice that when I go off script, like, who knows where it's going to go. So I generally keep a pretty good note format. I put it in bullet points so I can just skip from note to note and still feel like I'm talking to you. But in truth, I feel like I'm a better writer than I am a preacher. It's something that I actually just, it's a thing that I have. I don't feel like I'm a very good preacher, but I can write some pretty good sermons. Sometimes they deliver okay. But, so here's what happened this week. This sermon that we have for today, and we're doing the series of They Said What? Things Christians Should Stop Saying Immediately. The scripture, or the topic we have today is everything happens for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. So I think we should stop saying that, and I'll tell you why if you want to hear it. But, so I've preached a similar message to this before, so I took that old one, and then I spent a couple hours changing it to make it right for us today. And then early this morning when I got up to review my notes, none of my changes were there. None of them. It was back to the old format, and I have no idea why. I'm pretty sure I hit save, but it's not there. So we're just going to go with it. Reggie said he's got one kind of in the can ready to go. He's like, I could do it. No, I want to watch you squirm. That's what, because Reggie doesn't need the notes. You know how Reggie goes, and I'm so jealous of that. So here's what we could do. I'll give you option A. Option A is we just wing it like, as best I can. The notes are going to be there because that's saved. We've got that much. Or I could just tell you point number one is stop saying everything happens for a reason. Amen. And we could go home, and we could just tell our parents we were here the whole time. No, I'm just kidding. So I think I'll give you the option. Somebody should be. Does somebody want to take up B? You can go. There's still take a donut with you on your way out. But I'll stay, and I'll go through this stuff with you as best as I can. One of the number one things that when Barna has done research on questions about God, if they could ask God a question, one of the number one things that comes back is, why does God allow suffering? Why does God allow suffering? And one of the things that correlates with that is then, why do bad things happen to good people, right? There's that kind of core. Why is there suffering? Why do bad things happen to good people? And then the people of God say, everything happens for a reason. Everything happens for a reason, as if we have to explain everything. So let's talk about the bad things that happen. These things just happen. Okay, I'm going to list you six things that happen. I think that's the next thing. Yeah, first thing is self-inflicted suffering. This happens because we do dumb things to ourselves, right? Everything happens for a reason. Well, let's point back to the reason most of the bad things happen, because you did something stupid. I did something stupid. It's self-inflicted. God is not responsible for the choices that we make, the things that we do. I remember this. This might come off really callous, okay? We were in the last weeks of a lady's life. She was in her 80s, had lived a good full life, but she was dying of lung cancer. And she said, I don't know why God is doing this to me. And I thought, you smoked for 60 of your 84 years. Everything happens for a reason. This is self-inflicted. God did not cause this in your life. There are consequences for our actions. Here's another one. Suffering inflicted by other people. Other people will sometimes make their own decision, and it harms you. It causes problems to you. They have free choice just like you have free choice. Sometimes people use their free will to destroy others. Not that God wants child abusers to be around. God does not want Hitlers to be around, but he does give humanity the freedom to choose, and they sometimes choose to use it to inflict harm on others. Here's another one. Injustice related to poverty. Okay, we have poverty in our world. We don't have wealth everywhere all the time. So there's injustice related to poverty. And we might say, why does God let this happen? Why do these people suffer so much? Why are entire nations starving? That must be something to do with God. How can God let this happen? Here's another one. Suffering as a result of natural disasters. All right, natural disasters come in. The insurance industries call this an act of God. Yeah, as if God caused that thing to happen. And most of the time, acts of God are not covered by homeowner insurance policies. All right, now we're going to come back to all these. I'll come back to that. Physical illness, here's another one. Our bodies, I believe, were created for perfection, but are no longer in a perfected state. So we still get sick. Sometimes people die. We have illnesses. It just happens. And then the last one is tragic disasters of every kind. You know, sometimes people make mistakes. There's accidents that happen. Just life just gets, it just happens. Life just happens. So what we want, though, is a reason. We want an explanation. Why do these things happen? Well, everything happens for a reason. We have to understand why those things happen. Why are these bad things happening to very good people that we know and we love them? Why are those things happening? We question at funerals, why? Why did this happen? Why now? Why did this person? And then well-meaning Christians, even in the midst of that terrible type of suffering, they'll just say, well, everything happens for a reason. We like to say it because we want to control. We want to explain. We want to bring some meaning to the terrible things that are happening in our lives. It's been a popular saying, everything happens for a reason. You can go to that slide. Yeah, thank you. Perfect. She doesn't have notes, so she's just going off. She's winging it too. Everything happens for a reason. Aristotle, actually, and the Greek philosophers, they had this thing also. They had to try to make an effort to explain why these bad things, these suffering kinds of things, would happen to people all the time. Even in the book of John, Jesus describes something that happens to a particular man. A question was asked by the disciples. The disciples said, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? It's a good question. Why is he blind? He was born that way. So something must have happened because everything happens for a reason. Yeah. So who sinned? We'll come back to that too. Conversely, if you do good things, we believe that good things should happen to you, right? Now we're getting into a Near Eastern philosophy that's called what? Karma. That's right. Karma. So if you do bad things will happen to you. You do good things happen to you. That's a pretty common cultural psyche that we have in our world today, and it comes from the Near East. Do good, get good back. Do bad, get bad back. And so those disciples were like, somebody must have sinned. Somebody must have done something, right? He's blind. That's terrible. Something must have happened there. And then Jesus settles on this answer. The dude wasn't blind because of sin, and neither his sin nor his parents. Luke chapter 13, Jesus gives the disciples a list of rhetorical questions. And one of the things that he mentions is a local disaster in Jerusalem. A tower had fallen. 18 people died. Okay, this would have been big news in those days. Jesus mentions it, and he says in verse 4, this is Luke 13, verse 4, what about those 18 people who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them? Do you think they were more guilty than all the others in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will perish. I could give you lots of stories very similar to that, where well-meaning religious people created some kind of meaning or reasoning for a disaster to happen. But let's unwind ourselves and go back to 2005, to Hurricane Katrina. Remember Hurricane Katrina, those of you who are alive at the time? Abby was just born, and I went down maybe 3 weeks after the storm. She was not quite been a year yet, maybe, and she kept saying I was at Trina. I went to Trina. Daddy, are you at Trina? Yeah, so we went to Hurricane Katrina relief, and we took a bunch of trips down there. It was a really good experience for us, terrible for everybody else. But what happened in the news after that, seeing maybe 1,800 people or so die, 175-mile-per-hour winds, 20-foot storm surge come in, destroying entire cities. It was terrible. But since everything happens for a reason, our religious leaders, Pat Robertson, said it was because of abortions. Hal Lindsey said it was the beginning of America's judgment for her sins. Chuck Colson said it was so we could return our focus on the war on terror and win it. John Hagee blamed homosexuals for Hurricane Katrina. And I'm super glad now that all of those southern states are legislating their citizens' morality by banning abortion and limiting homosexual populations from expressing their will, so that there would no longer be hurricanes. Okay, say that out loud. It's ridiculous, isn't it? It's ridiculous. When we say everything happens for a reason, we're saying God caused, you name it, blank, God caused this to happen so that I can whatever. God caused this disaster, God caused this suffering so that I can learn this, or so that, whatever. So here's the problem with that philosophy, as far as I can tell. One is, we're saying that God causes it. That's number one. I think that's a problem. We'll get into it in a second. But it's a problem to say God causes these things. And two, God has a reason that I have to figure out. There's some mysterious reason that God has, and now it's up to me to figure out whatever God's reason is, because it's a mystery, and I have to sort it out. God causes it. Now, when we question God causing something, we're getting into a theological and philosophical disagreement among Christian friends because of this Christian word called sovereignty, God's sovereignty. If we're saying that God does not cause things that happen, then we're questioning God's sovereignty, God's ability to control, God's ability to do the things in the world and manipulate things and get into it and be involved in it. There's a theological camp that places God's sovereignty above everything and anything else, and they are able to say that everything happens for a reason because of God's sovereignty. God causes these things to happen. Everything is prescripted. It's foreordained that it will happen exactly the way it happens, because that must be God's will. You think of it like dominoes. Have you ever... you can play the game of dominoes. There's different versions of that. But like the dominoes that you set them up on the edge and they tick, 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 tick. You know what I'm talking about? I actually love doing those things. I love watching those videos and stuff. I have zero patience in setting those things up, because invariably these fat fingers are going to knock them down, like, and they'll go backwards the wrong way, you know, like, they just got to start all over. I've never had the patience for that sort of thing. But when the maker of the domino trail, I don't know what those are called, but you know what I'm talking about, has to painstakingly, individually place every single one of those dominoes in its course, so that it lines up exactly with what the maker of the dominoes wants it to do. And then the maker just steps back, ticks over the first one, and then all the dominoes fall for the rest of the life of that train. Does that make sense? Now, that would be the highest ideal of God's sovereignty, to think that God is just simply a domino setter-upper who painstakingly set up all the dominoes of your life, you have no choice but to follow through that entire course in the way it goes. And God will not intervene to take any of those dominoes away. So prayer is now, in my opinion, in that philosophy, prayer is now removed because it's just going to do whatever it's going to do. The resulting problem of that is that, yes, everything now has a reason, but that reason is left up to us to figure out this mysterious thing that God has for us, because why would God place that domino in my life? Why would I have to endure this? Why would this person die at such an early age, and now I carry this burden with me? It must have been for me that this person died so that I could learn whatever this mysterious thing is that God wants me to learn. Do you see the problem with that? Okay. Now, so there's one issue. Let's come to another one. Sowing and reaping. In culture, this is karma. In Galatians, it's sowing. It's a principle of sowing and reaping. We must not assume that God caused or directed terrible experiences to take place so that we could learn something about ourselves or about God. And that then we would have to figure that out on our own, not knowing what it is that we should learn. We must not assume that. The first kind of suffering that I mentioned was self-inflicted suffering. Okay, the things that you did to yourself to cause these things to happen. Those are lessons that we should probably learn from immediately. I remember learning this lesson on Memorial Weekend. I was driving out towards Utica. I was in rather a hurry, not knowing that our friendly highway patrol would be out on this particular road, but it was the season for them to be out. And so I was cruising along at a safe but fast speed, and he greeted me with his blue lights. And he was oncoming, I was going, and he rung me up right away. I was guilty, but I learned a lesson that day. Don't speed on Memorial Day, okay? Don't do it, even if you're going to an area where you don't think they are. I suffered a $135 lesson because I was in a hurry. One of the best ways for us to learn about God and to learn about ourselves is to go through the experience. We got to go through those things from time to time. Very seldom can we read about somebody else getting a ticket and observing them getting a ticket and then that changing us. Young drivers, learn from me. Learn, observe, okay? Don't speed, ever. Don't do it. Is that helpful, Mark? Sarah, don't speed. She doesn't. She's very, very conscientious. But when we go through it, we learn it a lot better. When it comes out of our pocketbook, or when we experience the pain ourselves, we learn it a lot better. God usually doesn't remove that. God did not give me a speeding ticket so that I would slow down, or so that I could empathize with others when they get a ticket. Oh, I too have had a ticket. I understand the pain that you're enduring. God gave me one time, and now I empathize with you. No, I got a speeding ticket because I was speeding. I legit was speeding big time. I was breaking the law, and there was a statey sitting at the top of the hill where I've never seen one before, and I got a ticket. Because here's the next thing, you reap what you sow. Galatians 6, 7 through 9. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap from the Spirit, will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap what we sow if we do not give up. It's cause and effect. There's natural consequences to that. You want to say everything happens for a reason? There it is. There's a big chunk of it right there because of the things we've done. We reap what we sow. There are things that happen within our lives because of our choices, because of our decisions, because of things that we have done. We've circumstances we find ourselves in. So yes, the dominoes will fall. However, the dominoes fall. But when we look back in the rearview mirror of life, we might be able to see exactly how all those things lined up because we put them there. We made the decisions that we made. I put that domino on my own track because I was speeding. That's how I got there to where I am now. I do not believe that God preordained or orchestrated everything to happen exactly as it did so that you or I would learn a lesson or make certain decisions. I sow and I reap. You sow and you reap. But God can redeem that. God can redeem our reaping. Under the principle of you reap what you sow, if we sow bad, reap bad. Better yet, if we're on the receiving end of someone else's sowing bad into our lives and we have reaped bad because of other people's decisions, God can redeem that. God can turn that around. God can make that thing and turn it good. The story of Jacob comes to mind way back in the Old Testament. Jacob and his brothers, they had terrible disagreements and fights. They threw him in a pit. They sold him into slavery. He went into slavery in Egypt, spent a good many years there in prison, eventually working his way up to be like the number two guy in all of Egypt. Pharaoh was trusting him with getting grain for the entirety of the nation as they went through famine. And then in the end, his family returns because they need grain. Long sordid story, Jacob messes with them for a little while. But then a redemption story happens. God redeems that story, and Jacob summarizes it like this. What men meant for evil, God meant for good. What men meant for evil, God meant for good. God redeemed all of the evil that had been done to Jacob and turned it around to something good. And that brings us back to the man who was born blind. In John chapter 9, it says this, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, it was not this man that sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. It's like, I want to show you a redemption story. This is going to turn out for the good. God, through Jesus Christ, chooses to intervene in this man's life to bring healing, to bring redemption, to bring glory to God. Nobody sinned to cause that man to be blind. God did not cause him to be born blind. He was born blind because we live in a fallen, broken world, and our bodies sometimes fail us, and things don't happen right. It just happens. It's part of the world we live in. Sometimes babies aren't healthy when they're born. Stuff happens in the womb sometimes. Car accidents happen. People who don't smoke get lung cancer. People who smoke don't get lung cancer. People lose jobs. We lose houses. People rob us. We get sick. Stuff happens. The world's a mess sometimes. The design was flawless, but sin has entered in and has made a mess of things. God can redeem our sowing and reaping. I'll say this too. Sometimes God does intervene. Sometimes God will come in and take the domino out. Sometimes God can and does intervene. Why? So that the works of God might be displayed in us. God can redeem the terrible, crappy situations in life to bring glory to himself. And that's the reason, to bring glory to God. If you want a reason, usually we say everything happens reason for a negative thing. If a good thing happens, we don't ask why. And additionally, we don't bring glory to God with it sometimes either. When we say everything happens for a reason, we're searching for some sort of meaning to come out of a difficult situation. We're looking for something that we can learn and grow from. We're trying to find out a big why. Why did this happen? And I think it's okay to do. I think it's okay to ask why, but I think we should be looking for redemptive reasons. We should look for what's God doing in this situation to redeem this ick. What's God doing in here? I don't think God caused this, but what's God doing to redeem this situation? I think it's a good thing to be a part of that process. If your life has been spared from some sort of awful disease or something horrific, use your life for a new purpose. That's what happened to me. Man, I about lost my life in 2014. And then when I got out of that, I was like, I got one life to live. I've got one. That was a hard lesson to learn at 36 years old. I've got one to live, and I'm going to use it. And sometimes I work too hard using it because I've only got minutes to live. I have no idea how much time there is left. But never, ever accuse God of robbing life from someone else to teach you a lesson. People will say that their loved one died and everything happened for a reason. The only lesson for us to learn from that is whatever lesson God redeems for us to learn from it. But God didn't cause it to happen. And this kind of brings us back around to the beginning. Because at the heart of the question that we started with, why does God allow suffering? At the heart of it all really is this. Why doesn't God choose to intervene more often? I know we've talked about this in the last probably 2 years, but if God doesn't cause the thing to happen for specific reasons and purposes, if God does allow it to happen, then why doesn't God intervene and pull that domino away more often or all the time? And the answer is, doggone if I know. I do not know. I don't pretend to understand it. He does intervene, but not always. He doesn't always. I don't know why. C.S. Lewis has a work that's not very well known. It's a set of book called Perelandra, and he envisions a planet that's sort of newly inhabited. It's Venus, but it's newly inhabited, and God creates Adam and Eve, a whole new experience on Adam and Eve. And C.S. Lewis has two scientists coming from Earth to visit this planet, and they discover Adam and Eve a couple of days apart from one another. The first person is a believer, and he's so excited to see them, Adam and Eve, in their perfected state. Like, this is like the Garden of Eden type state. And the other person is not a believer, and he did nothing but tempt Adam and Eve to sin. And so as the book goes on, the second scientist does the tempting, and the first scientist is praying to God to intervene, and he keeps on praying, pleading to God that God would send help so that sin would not fall upon this Adam and Eve like it did back on Earth. And finally, God says to the first scientist, I already have intervened. I sent you. You are supposed to go intervene. We see countless examples of God using people to intervene every day, but we hardly ever think about it. Think about hospitals. Someone saw a need at some point and established a hospital to care for people who had physical needs. Someone saw, they intervened. Schools, somebody interrupted life as they knew it to teach children and young adults the skills they need to survive in the world. Christians have been doing good things, meeting the needs of people and solving people's problems since right after Jesus ascended into heaven. God has been using people to intervene on his behalf since the time of Jesus and longer. But what if God solved all the medical issues on our, and just say in Newark, for the last 100 years, all of our medical needs have been met because of miraculous intervention by God? What would that be like? God gave us all the knowledge. What if God just downloaded all the knowledge we needed to make it through life without going to school? Oh, thank you, Jesus. That's a prayer right there. Let's do that. That would be amazing. What if God fixed all of our flat tires before they got flat? So while we're driving on the road, it starts at and then it just inflates because God saw it and God fixed it. He fixed the flat. What if God sent a bolt of lightning to fix all of our problems and all of our mistakes every time we make them? What if God let people do good things when they wanted to do good things, but when they chose to do bad things, he stopped them short? Yeah, you can go do the good things, but suddenly they just physically can't do the bad things. I think if God did all of that and intervened in every situation like that, then honestly, we wouldn't matter. I don't think humanity would matter that much. We would not have any reason to do good. We wouldn't have reason to be good, to be used by God. We would just assume that God would handle all the things like God always does, and then we don't matter anymore. But I think we do matter, because God uses us to intervene. God uses us to be a part of society and intervene on his behalf in people's lives. I think we matter. And so, while we can't blame God for the cause of suffering in our world, I think we can wonder why God doesn't intervene until we recognize that most of the time, he's calling us to intervene. He's calling us to go take care of yourself in the hospital. God gave us the knowledge in the scientific community to go be taken care of. I mean, we could pray for a miracle, but use the tools and the resources God has already given us. I want to think back through the types of suffering that we discussed at the beginning. One was self-inflicted suffering. God is not responsible for our choices, but God can redeem those things. God doesn't necessarily take away the consequences of our self-inflicted suffering. He doesn't take away the consequences of our freedom to do the things that we want to do. We still have choice to do right and to do wrong. We're not a moral robot. We have capacity to choose our own destiny, capacity to do good, good and evil. God has given us how he wants us to live in life, and then we can choose to follow it whether we want to or not. Randy Alcorn writes, "If God disarmed every shooter and prevented every drunk driver from crashing, this would not be a real world in which people make consequential choices. In such a world, people would die without a sense of need." Would you rather have the ability to choose or only be able to choose right? There are consequences to the freedom that is built into the system that God has given us. That was actually part of the second one. That was number two as well. Third one, injustice related to poverty in the third world. I think this is more about humanity's inability to distribute. Production's okay. We can raise enough crops to feed everybody. I think there's enough stuff in the world that we could house everybody. There's enough resources on the planet for food and clothing and shelter. We just don't distribute it properly. And in America, we got way more than pretty much everybody else. So when we ask God, why does he allow poverty to happen in the third world? I think God turns around and asks us, why do we let it happen? Why are we allowing this to happen? Why are we allowing this bad thing to happen to good people? Here's number four, suffering as a result of natural disasters. Lightning bolts don't come from God's fingertips, okay? He's not out there going, you know. Rain is not his tears, okay? Wind does not blow from his lips. God does not specifically cause these events to happen. God designed them into the system of the world. They happen. It's part... Hurricanes have been happening in the Gulf Coast for millennia, and they will continue to, no matter what laws are created. The things that make the mountains beautiful are earthquakes. There's part of the system. The floodwaters that make soil fertile. Did God design for us to live on that floodplain? Probably not. Tragic disasters of every kind, automobile accidents. Sometimes we just make mistakes. If you drive into a power line on your way home, you're probably going to die. That's very sad. God did not cause that. It was an accident. God will redeem it for your family. Let's pray if they allow that. God is not an insulator. God is not a braking system on a car. God is not the one who does the final systems check on an airplane. If we don't want to risk those things, then we better stay home. Almost everything has risk. And here's the last one, physical illness. Our bodies aren't perfect. God designed them to be perfect, but it's subject to change. Things go haywire in our bodies. Our bodies are fragile. They're frail. They're not made of steel. Our bodies break down from time to time. Maybe people want God to be a giant CAT scan in the sky to just keep scanning our bodies and letting us know when something is going to happen. God doesn't examine every cell of every person all the time to protect us from disease. It just doesn't work that way. God simply holds us when the bad things actually happen. God is there for us when bad things happen. And so, I summarize it with this. We all believe that God is real. We believe that God has ordered life. There is order to it, but chaos can come in it. And I don't believe that God causes these things to happen so that there's a reason for you to learn something or grow from this. I think God redeems the chaos, and in the process of that, you learn and you grow. I urge you, stop saying everything happens for a reason, unless you're willing to go down the road of what all those reasons are and to understand there is chaos behind the order. Let me pray for you. Let us pray for ourselves, because this isn't a happy sermon. Honestly, I don't even feel right about it. Like, I'm a little unsettled. I think we want to have reasons for everything, and when we say there's not a reason, then we're calling into question God's sovereignty. And I'm not trying to do that. I'm just saying that God's in His sovereignty is here for you when the chaos happens. God, be with us as we encounter life in its destructive course. Be with us in the moments of chaos and difficulty, struggle, harm. And it's 100% natural for us to look for a reason behind those things. We want to know why these things are happening. We want to know if there's a reason that makes sense to us. Lord, may we remember that probably most of those things you're not causing. Probably most of those things you're just there waiting for us to turn to you and remember that your sovereignty is the sovereignty of grace, caring, understanding. And we ask that you would wrap your arms around us so that we can feel your presence in us, so that we can see you working and then see where you're working in our area, in our community, that we might be the intervention that somebody needs, that we might be the thing that somebody's looking for to bless them, to comfort them in their time of sorrow, in their time of tragedy. Maybe we're the one that gets to be your arms to wrap around your arms around your hurting loved one. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.